Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a difference between false Christ and antichrist. False Christ are people who call themselves Christians and do not live their lives according to the Bible, and therefore they present to the world false Christ. And so, for example, if you are a Christian and you call yourself a Christian, and then you are carnal, you live the life of carnality, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, lying, cheating, characterize your life. And that makes you a false Christ, because Christ is not like that. Christ is holy, he is righteous, but you are not. But you call yourself a Christian. That's a false Christ. They are not against Christ. They do not attack the Bible. They do not put obstacles and undermine the doctrines of Christ, the doctrines of the Bible. But the Antichrist will. The Antichrist is a person who is against Christ. A false Christ is an Antichrist. But an Antichrist does not necessarily. A false Christ is not an Antichrist, but an Antichrist is a false Christ. Because this person will not only misrepresent Christ, he will attack the Bible, attack Christ. Now bear in mind, both of these are professing believers. They are not people of other faiths or other religions. They call themselves Christians, and the Antichrist is such a person as well. He will come. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know that he is coming. These prophecies we are studying occurred 2,000 years ago, and now 2,000 years later, you and I might feel that it is perhaps something that is obsolete. Well, the Bible has been saying that he's coming, just like the second coming of Christ or the return of Christ, but he has not returned yet. But there will be many other things that will have to occur first. 2 weeks ago, we touched on that. The context of 2 Thessalonians was the false teachers have crept in and discouraged many of the Christians in Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul had taught them in 1 Thessalonians that there will be the rapture. There will be those who have died in Christ, the first resurrection. They will be resurrected first. And then those who are alive will be raptured, captured, taken up, caught up without experiencing death. And so they said that it has already taken place, and that means you guys are left behind. And the Apostle Paul said, no, there are certain things, certain events that will have to occur first before the rapture or the first resurrection of Christ will take place. And that's what he said in chapter 2, verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. That means that day of Christ is present. It is right here and now. That day of Christ is the gathering together unto him, chapter 2, verse 1, the rapture. And so when we study the Antichrist coming, it is still during this period of time. The question is it going to happen before or after the rapture? In other words, when will the appearance of this Antichrist take place? Right, that is the focus. Remember ye not, verse 5, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So these things were taught by Paul when Paul was in Thessalonica. And somehow the Christians had perhaps forgotten either that, or they did not study it well enough. For whatever reason, Paul had to repeat it to remind them. And so he says in verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. So something is preventing the Antichrist from appearing. Okay, that's what the Bible says in verse 6. And now you know, I taught you before, this is cognitive knowledge, doctrinal, that you have been taught, what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time, in God's time. God is in control on when the capital A Antichrist, will be permitted to reveal himself and to do his evil deeds. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That means he is already here. What does that mean, the mystery of iniquity? Now, mystery is something that has been kept hidden and that is revealed to us in due course. And in this case, the mystery of iniquity will be the iniquity of the Antichrist. And the Bible says they are already at work. What does it mean they're already at work? Only he who now letteth, the word letteth is exactly the same as the word withholdeth. So he who now withholdeth will withhold until he be taken out of the way. Now, what does it mean by he be taken out of the way? Who is the he? I believe the he there, based upon what the early verses refer to, the rapture, the Holy Spirit's ministry in the midst of the local church witness. You see, the rapture literally means every truly born-again believer will be caught up. Now, those who have died in Christ will be resurrected. But the rapture refers to those who are alive in this physical mortal body. And when that event takes place, they will be spared physical death and they will be caught up and taken away. Now, what it means is the period of the local church witness will end, because what remains will be the church that has fallen away. Because every truly born-again believer in every sound biblical church, in every church, they will be taken up. And what remains on earth will only be known as, in Revelation, the harlot church of the Antichrist. For the Antichrist to rule, he needs a one-world government and a one-world church. And this one-world church will be made up of only unbelievers, because every truly born-again believers will be taken up. And we know from Daniel chapter 9 that the Antichrist will be permitted to reign only for 7 years before the Lord returns. And Jesus in Matthew 24 called it the Great Tribulation. And so that means the one who is preventing, withholding the identity of the Antichrist from being revealed in God's time is God himself. And he that is taken out of the way will be, I believe, the Spirit of God, who is the one who has started the local church witness from Pentecost. And then when the rapture takes place, which is the immediate context of 2 Thessalonians, that is the frame of reference, the end of the local church witness. And during this 7 years of great tribulation, the Bible says the two witnesses will be sent, and they will serve and witness for 3.5 years before they are going to be killed, and then they are going to be resurrected. And there will be the wrath of God, the trumpet judgments. There will be the vow judgments. The local church witness will end. The church that exists during the 7 years of great tribulation is known as the harlot church. Unbelievers will be the only ones that will exist in the harlot church. They are known as the goats. They are not the sheep. Today's churches are made up of goats and sheep. If you enter into a liberal modernist church, most likely you will find all goats. These are the prelude. Because the church of the Antichrist will be huge. They will number in the millions, if not billions. And they are all goats, unbelievers, because believers would have been raptured. And anyone who believed during the time of the Great Tribulation, they're going to be hunted down. The people who belong to the harlot church will have the mark of the beast. So the coming of the Antichrist is going to take place just before or just after the rapture. That's what the Bible says, the timing of the Antichrist coming, when he that prevent it is taken away, the Spirit of God, through the local church witness, when his service and ministry in the local church, through the local church witness, ends, the great tribulation will begin. And it will begin with the revelation of the identity of the capital A Antichrist. Now, why do we call him the capital A Antichrist? What did the Bible mean when the Bible says the mystery of this iniquity, the son of perdition, the Antichrist? These are his other titles, son of perdition, the Antichrist, and we also in the Bible called him the man of sin. He will be revealed to the whole world in God's time when the church period ends with the taking away of the church by rapture. The Spirit of God ministry through the local church will end. And it is known as the mystery of iniquity that already work right now. How come? Because there are a lot of small a antichrists. And you will find that in 1 John chapter 2. Look at 1 John chapter 2, because the term Antichrist, capital A, is found there. It is not found in 2 Thessalonians, even though we may use 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 12 as our main text. But we call this the Antichrist coming because it describes the start of his ministry on this earth, where he will reveal himself and make himself the leader of the world, the leader of the one world government. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, that's the capital A. Even now, are there many antichrists, plural. You see the first, singular. We call it the capital A antichrist to distinguish him from the rest. But the Bible says, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And so this small a antichrist, plural, have already reared its ugly head 2,000 years ago in the time of the Apostle John when this was given. And they continue to exist and it will culminate in the capital A Antichrist. Now the rest of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, from verse 8 onwards, we're going to see some of his works, his ministry. That is a capital A. And what you see in the small a will be similar to what the Bible would describe the deeds of the capital A Antichrist. But the scope of it will be different. In the case of the capital A, it will be global. But in the case of the small a Antichrist, their deeds will be similar, but it will be localized. The impact will not be as great as that of the capital A Antichrist because they will not have his kind of power. But bear in mind, they are called small a antichrist, not without a reason. This is to let us know that they are already in our midst. That's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7a means. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already working in the world, the small a antichrist, doing the little deeds similar to the capital A, but limited in its scope. Not global, but local. It could be within a nation. It could be some nations, but not the whole globe, the whole world. That distinction will belong to the capital A Antichrist. And he will succeed. God will allow him to succeed before the Lord will put him in his place. They went out from us, but they were not of us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. In other words, they were believers once upon a time. And then they left the fundamentals of the faith. They departed. The Bible says, if they had originally been true believers, they will not have departed. And so one of the things that you have to bear in mind about these small a antichrists is that they are going to be from the Christian world. So will the Antichrist, capital A. He will belong to Christianity, in other words. But he will not follow the truth. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, what does that mean? The person who denies Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. He is the Antichrist, and he denies the Father and the Son. Now, that sounds simple enough, isn't it? How does a person deny Jesus is the Messiah today? Does it mean that anybody who mentioned and say the name Jesus Christ, he is not an Antichrist? No. Remember, Antichrist will come from the Christian faith. That means the person will use the name Jesus Christ. He will mention the name Jesus Christ. In fact, the Antichrist will call himself the Messiah, the Christ. So you and I cannot be so naive that if anyone said Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, he is on God's side. That's not what it means in the superficial sense. Who is the person who says Jesus is the Christ? Remember the gospel preached by Paul. Not only must you talk about Christ, you have to talk about Christ according to the scriptures. The key is the phrase according to the scriptures. You want to talk about sin, hell, and death according to scriptures. You want to talk about the birth of Christ according to scriptures. You want to talk about the death of Christ according to scriptures. You want to talk about the resurrection of Christ according to scriptures. So you and I now must measure everyone according to scriptures. Not just so naively, oh, believed in the name Jesus Christ, oh, he must be on God's side. Cannot be so naive. If you were to continue to study the book of 1 John, you realize that in the early period of the Bible, in the times of on the time of the Apostle John, there was this problem of incipient Gnosticism, where John himself wrote and warned people, test every spirit, test everyone who called himself a Christian, who says he believes in Jesus Christ, because one of the errors of Gnosticism was that flesh is inherently evil. And since flesh is evil, Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Jesus only come in spirit. And when he went to the cross, he just simply was not the real Christ who went to the cross, somebody else, because Christ could not come in the flesh, because flesh is evil, and if Christ had come in the flesh, then Christ would be evil. And so the Jesus Christ of the Gnostics, even as far back as early as the time of the Apostle John, he already warned them. Don't just simply believe anyone who say, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ. You have to make sure that the Jesus Christ that he believes in is according to scriptures. That's what John warned and told the Christians in his days to check. And that's how they evaluate. You have to measure it according to scriptures. You measure the Jesus Christ of the Roman Catholics according to scriptures. You measure the Jesus Christ of the charismatic according to scriptures. You measure the Jesus Christ of everyone who says he's a Christian according to scriptures, including us. Because we're living in the last days. We're living in the brink of the time that is so close to the start of the Great Tribulation, to the start of the revelation of the identity of the Antichrist. That means the day of the rapture is only a moment away. That's how close we are. That means the intensity and the seriousness of Christianity falling away is before us. It's here. It's now. That means there are more false gospels preached today than 50 years ago. All because of the internet. Not only does it spread a lot of good stuff, it also spread in the blink of a mouse, in the blink of an eye, tons and tons of deception and evil and wickedness. And we are all bombarded by it. And that's why if you and I are not believing in the Jesus of the Bible according to scriptures, you and I have no salvation. The Antichrist is already at work. And he will continue to do the deeds that are similar to the capital A Antichrist. Now look at what the Antichrist will do. Capital A, verse 8 and verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians. And then shall the wicked be revealed, right? Be revealed when the he that withholdeth is taken away. So the identity will be revealed, and that will be the start of the Great Tribulation. whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, he will be destroyed by God to assure us he is going to receive his just reward. God will deal with him. No matter how powerful he is, he will be dealt with by God. And Revelation 19 tells us that God will send him together with a false prophet to the lake of fire in this mortal flesh. That's how serious his transgression, his iniquities will be in the eyes of God. No human being will be sent to the lake of fire in this mortal flesh except for both of them. The Antichrist, capital A, and the false prophet. Both of them are described for us in Revelation 13, which we are going to look at a moment later. God will deal with him. Now you look. Look at his deeds. This is his end. God will consume him with the spirit of his mouth, that is the word of God. God will just speak the word, as you can see in Revelation 19, and he will become nothing. God will deal with him and destroy his whole army by just speaking, as Christ will ride down from the clouds of glory and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Now, the working here is the word where we get the English word energy. So he will be energized by the devil. So the devil will give him the kind of power that is supernatural to go against Christ, to do whatever it takes. And what are some of the things? All power and signs and lying wonders. He will do false miracles. False, not false in the sense that it is not supernatural, false in the sense that the source is not God, but the devil himself. Now remember, the Antichrist will call himself a Christian. The only way that you're going to see that he is the Antichrist is to measure him against the word of God. That's the only way, because his works will be energized by Satan himself, and that means it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be powerful. And if you are going to use the spectacular and the supernatural to evaluate whether he is of God or not, your conclusion of him will be he is of God. Because he will come with the power of the devil himself, and he can do miracles. That's why you do not say, if the charismatics are true and their ability to heal diseases are true, then let them go to the hospital and let them do the healing and heal people in the hospital if they are really, really true. Are you going to say that if they can go to the hospital and heal those who are sick, you mean you're going to believe in the charismatic teaching? You're going to believe that they are from God? You cannot use this kind of reasoning. You're going to evaluate them according to the scriptures, not according to evidence and the supernatural, because this fella can do it. Satan will give him the power to do it. And what he will do, they are called signs and wonders. But signs and lying wonders, that means they are real. You go by the Bible and not the evidence. We are now living in a period of time for the past slightly over 100 years. There is a brand of Christianity that is based upon evidence and not the word of God, not the truth. And that brand of Christianity came about in the year 1906. They first called themselves the Pentecostalists. After the Second World War, they changed their name to the Charismatics. And now they are called the New Charismatics. And their key is experience. Experience become the basis of their Christianity. And that is the small a Antichrist at work today. Isn't that true? Because that's the key of the capital A Antichrist at work in the Great Tribulation. Experience will be the determining factor of Christianity. No longer doctrine, no longer the Bible. But they also use the Bible. Yes, they use the Bible, but if you were to check the use of the Bible against the proper understanding of the Bible, they use the Bible to Christianize their errors, their lies, their deception. That's it. If they don't use the Bible to Christianize it, what do you want them to do? You want them to use another book? There is no satanic book. They use the satanic bowl to tell you that we receive our power from Satan. Will you go? Will you accept? Will you believe? You will not. You will run away. That's why he is known as the Antichrist. He called himself the Christian, but he is actually against Christ. And there are a lot of all these small a already in existence, as 1 John chapter 2 already revealed to us. They're already at work in our midst, doing the similar thing, but at a smaller scale. Please do not play the fool and think that the charismatic movement is harmless. Don't attend their services. You're going to be affected. It is a spiritual battle in there with their music, with their lyrics, with all this setup. It is meant to mesmerize. I listened to more than 200 to 300 of the charismatic messages, most of them from Joseph Prince. When I listen to him on the radio, I do not see his face. I kept on asking myself, I wondered how in the world could this person garner so many thousands of people in the church? His Singaporean English, his bad English, he can't string together a proper sermon. And yet, thousands flocked to his church. How come? One day, I went onto the internet and watched him, not just listen to him as I was driving. As I was driving, it's only the audio, no visual. But for the first and one and only time, when I watch him for maybe about 10, 15 minutes, audio and visual, he comes across completely different. Audio and visual with all the lights, with him walking back and forth on the stage. If there is a word called charisma to describe him, he has it. You forget about the poor English, you forget about the Singlish, you forget about all the things. You are mesmerized by his presentation, the lighting, the garment, the dressing, the pre-worship, the pre-message, the singing, the CCM singing with the soloists, and all these are to prep the people for this man to come out with a spotlight shining on him. He mesmerizes people by his presence. So much so that you forget about the message, you see the man. But the moment you turn off the visual and you just listen to the audio, and then you compare what he says against the word of God, sometimes it is even laughable. But not when audio and visual combine. Completely different. Now that is through the small computer monitor. I do not know what's it like, and I don't want to know what's it like if you attend and you see him in the auditorium. It may be even more powerful and potent, but the whole place is carefully orchestrated to lure the people in and to mesmerize and to follow the man. But they will draw men unto themselves, as Paul warns us in Acts 20. Ravening wolves from outside who will come in and destroy and devour the flock, but there are also another more subtle danger. Men will rise up from within and draw men unto themselves. And that's what we see more so today than in other periods of church history because of the modern technology and the internet. This is our world, and God already warns us. The small a Antichrist already here. The capital A will do the same thing, but in the great scale. The small a Antichrist already doing the things, a smaller scale. That's what it means when the Bible says the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's already working in our midst. And that was 2,000 years ago, and now we are experiencing it 2,000 years later. How can you and I not see it and know it? 2,000 years ago, perhaps it was in its infancy. Not as obvious as what it is today. But today, it is obvious. You have to be spiritually dead and blind not to be able to see. Thousands and millions of people all over the world speaking in a language that they do not know, and yet they believe they're talking to God. They do miracles of the miracles of the miracles that are completely man-centered, not God-centered at all. And there are a lot of people who will just simply go for it. This is the danger that we are living in. And only the Word of God can deliver us. And you see this. Look at the victims. Verse 10 to verse 12. The victims who believe. The capital A. The same victims who believe the small a. You see the similarity. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them. Unrighteousness means they will not do what is righteous. They will not do what is according to scriptures. But they are deceived. Deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. That means these people who are unbelievers. They are going to die. They are going to be sent into hell and ultimately the lake of fire. Because they receive not what? The love of the truth that they might be safe. Not just the truth, but the love, agape love of the truth. Whereby these people will continue to have an insatiable, unending, continuous love for God's truth. They are the ones who will not be duped. Back to the Bible, isn't it? Not just back to the Bible, but also have a passion for the truth. Do you have a passion for the truth? Those who are not believers, those who are perishing, God says, they have been deceived. They are known as the deceivableness of unrighteousness. They are the ones who do not love the truth. That's why they will not be saved. Are you born again in Christ? Have you truly accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior who died on the cross for your sin? It has to be the Jesus of the Bible. It has to be for your sins and your sins alone, with no extra hoping that you will be healthy and wealthy in the process. It is purely because of sin and your sin alone that Jesus Christ came to die for you. And if you have truly, unconditionally surrendered your life and believe with all your heart and identify yourself with Christ that He is indeed the only one who can save you from sin, from death, and from hell, and rose again from the dead so that you can stand before God righteous with all your heart. And the evidence of it now after salvation, you have a thirst and a love for God's truth. Because now you can understand the Word of God after salvation. Then you know you are born again. That's how critical a time we are living in, because of the global deception that will take place before the coming of the second capital A Antichrist, with all the small a's Antichrist. This is the culmination. Do you have a love for the truth? That's why the key is the truth. Not just the truth itself, but the love for the truth that will sustain and to keep you studying the Bible all the days of your life. Because without this love, without this passion, it will wane. It will diminish. It will give up. It will die a natural death. How many have tried reading the Bible throughout the whole year from beginning? That was January 2017. Now we are into the first Sunday of November. How many of you have started and stopped? Have you sustained it? Have you continued? Now when December comes, are you going to give up? Are you going to pray and ask God to give you the strength and the love for God's truth to continue? And ask God to sustain and keep this love burning within your soul, because now you have tasted how wonderful it is to hear the voice of God every day of your life for the past whole year. Because reading the Word of God is to hear the voice of God. And if you really love Him, you will want to hear His voice all the time. How do you know you have stopped loving a person? When you don't want to have anything to do with the person, when you don't want to hear the person's voice anymore. For those of you who are married, do you remember what it was like when you were courting your wife? Went out the whole night with her. And then you send her home, and then you have arrived home. The first thing you do after you arrive home, even before you take off your socks, you pick up the phone and you call her. Sweetheart, I'm home. And not that, you continue to talk some more. Talk some more, talk some more. And then your mom will say, why are you still talking on the phone? You just talked to her for the whole night and now you still talk again. Enough. Not enough, mom. I still want to hear her voice. And now after you're married, still want to hear her voice? Do you want to hear her voice or not? Now only WhatsApp, no voice. Don't want to hear the voice. Any longing? Longing for your wife and your family while you're away at work? The moment you have no longing, wow, so nice to be away from my wife. I'm now alone in this country, in this city. Phew, so nice. Something is wrong. Not hearing the voice of God for so long, phew, so nice. Something is wrong with your love for the Heavenly Father. Isn't that true? When you don't want to hear the voice of someone that you used to love, the Bible called it the first love. When you first met Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, the first love was burning brightly. But somewhere along the line, the first love has grown cold, like the Christians in Ephesus, the first church in Revelation that the Lord had to rebuke. It's good that you earnestly contend for the faith, but you have lost your first love. How do you know? You have stopped loving my word. You don't want to hear my voice anymore. That's how God knows. That's how you and I also know. If you love someone, you don't want to stop hearing that person's voice. You want to keep on hearing the voice. You can't wait to sit down and open the Bible and read and study and hear the voice of God and meditate and pray for the Lord to open your eyes and your heart to understand and to obey. Can't wait for the day to come. The moment you wake up, Lord, I can't wait to sit and hear your voice. Do you have this passion, this love? The unbelievers don't. Those who are perishing do not. Those who do not believe do not. That means those who believe do, will have. Do you have? Don't just say, I'm a Christian. Not today. There are too many false gospels floating around. Too many false Christs floating around. Too many antichrists floating around. But thanks be to God, God gave us enough evidence in the scriptures to help us check our own salvation, to make sure of our own salvation. And this is one of the key evidence. The love for the truth, which the unbelievers do not have. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. You think Joseph Prince does not truly believe sincerely with all his heart that he's a Christian? He really does. But he's in delusion. How do we know? You can tell a person whether he is a believer or not by the gospel he preaches, because the gospel he preaches is the same gospel that he believes in. Gong He, Joseph Prince, they all believe the gospel is the gospel that will bring you health and wealth. That's why they can live in luxury at the expense of their church members without any qualms, without any problem. Because they have to back up their health and wealth gospel by a life of luxury. Otherwise, where is the evidence and power of their message of health and wealth? They must remain healthy. They must remain wealthy in order for them to proclaim that kind of message. Just like, I cannot sell you the cure for baldness. You look at me. You believe? This is a cure for baldness. Look, you believe or not? You believe the cure for baldness? You put this, drop this on, and then you do this, then do that, and your hair will grow. Prove it. So I want to preach to you the health and wealth gospel. I can't be poor. I can't be sickly, right? If I preach to you health and wealth, I better be healthy and wealthy. True? And that's what they are doing. And those who join their churches have already been duped. Bad enough from the Antichrist. But when God said, I will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You think believing in health and wealth is not unrighteous? It's carnality. You realize that? You believe in the health and wealth gospel, it is carnality, and that means unrighteousness. You're not doing anything right. According to scriptures, you are going to be motivated by the love of money. And the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. How come they don't know? Because they are blinded. They are blinded. Jesus says, either you love God and hate mammon, no man can love both. And yet the charismatic pastor says, you can love God and love mammon. Because that's what the health and well gospel is. You tell these people, believe in Jesus Christ who died for your sin, you'll be healthier and wealthy. That means be motivated by more and more money, more and more wealth. It is okay, because that's what Jesus wants you to have. But Jesus says, no man can love God and mammon. Either you love the one and hate the other. But they say can. So who is right? How come they can't see? It's here, it's there in the Bible, Matthew chapter 5. It's so clear. Because of the delusion. They will not believe the truth, even though the truth is so blunt and so direct. They will believe a lie. And they will continue to live in unrighteousness. That means they will live a life that is not according to the righteousness of the Bible, but they don't even know it. They sincerely, truly believe in it. And that's how frightening it is. To live a lie thinking that it is true. To call yourself a Christian when you're still a sinner bound for hell. They think they are bound for heaven. And the Bible says there will be many of them in the last days. And these are the prelude, because the Antichrist, small a, plural, have already deceived so many until the capital A Antichrist will come. Now this is, for your information, a description of the capital A Antichrist, global. But we are already seeing it. The small a Antichrist are already at work. In conclusion, turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast. Here he is called the beast. In 2 Thessalonians, he is known as the man of sin, the son of perdition. In 1 John chapter 2, he was known as the capital A Antichrist. All the same person. All right, look at verse 3. And I saw one of his head as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, that is the devil who energized the Antichrist, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Look at verse 11. And I beheld another beast, that's a false prophet, coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So this one is deadly. He appears very mild-mannered, but he had the horns like a lamb. That means his words are still the words of the dragon, the devil himself. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. This is an expansion and elaboration of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is how they're going to do it. Global scale. What we have read, also global scale in 2 Thessalonians. But the small a Antichrist, the same kind of deeds to a smaller scale, are already here. We are already living in it, as God already warns us. The Antichrist coming is real. Why did God reveal it to us? To prepare us, who are God's children, to be on guard, to be vigilant, to be watchful, and to make sure of your salvation, especially our generation, because of the falling away of Christianity that has already taken place. Please, make sure of your salvation, dear friends. Do not assume that you are a member of a sound church, you are born again in Christ, because the deception is not limited to other denominations. It has spread into every sound biblical church, either through the internet or through the friends or through the airwaves. We are living in very perilous times, perilous in terms of the false gospels that are floating around. Please make sure of your salvation. Do you have the ability to understand God's word? Do you love God's word? Do you obey God's word? And there are many more evidence of salvation that God has given to us. Ask yourself, why did God have to give us so many evidence of salvation? Why? The answer is because it is so easy for us to be deceived and believe in the false gospel. That's why God gave us so many evidence, or so much evidence concerning salvation, the evidence of it, so that no one would be duped. May God help us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, you know what you are doing in our lives, and we thank thee for it, O Lord. For we have been placed on this earth in such a time as this by your sovereign will and knowledge. And as just as you have saved us and let us remain on this earth, you have also equipped us that all of us who are truly born again in Christ can be victorious if only we would obey thy holy word, to live a life of holiness and righteousness, and to keep on studying the word of God because of the love of God that constraineth us. Our love for thee and for thy truth will sustain us, will grant us the necessary wisdom and illumination that we will not be deceived by the evil one, the many antichrists of the last days. O Lord, may thou be gracious and merciful to open our eyes that we may, each and every one of us, make sure of our salvation first and foremost, and then to ensure that we live a life that is holy and righteous, that will be used by thy own Holy Spirit to fight the good fight of faith and to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints in these last days before the Lord Jesus Christ returns to take us all home to be with him. We long for that blessed day to come soon, O Lord, but while we wait, may thou keep us faithful and keep us in the path of holiness and righteousness. For Jesus' sake, hear us. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.